Let us begin on Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots. So we said in the Mishnah, an imamar amenatche Ephraimi Misha, somebody makes a condition as a lender that he wants to be able to be tovea even from the guarantor, and it's up to him to determine who he wants to be tovea. So then he can. Comes along Rabba Bar Bar Chana, quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shana Lo She'en Nechasim Lelove, Avo Yesh Nechasim Lelove Lo Yifra Min Haaretz. This is true only if there are no Nechasim. In other words, he doesn't own real estate. If the borrower owes real estate, then even if he had made such a condition that he should be able as a lender to go directly to the guarantor, he cannot go first to the guarantor.
But even if he didn't make that condition, he couldn't go first, could he?
No, he made a condition to go first.
To go first, but it didn't matter if the lover doesn't have any nechasim.
But the difference would be that if he didn't make that condition, then even if there's no nechasim, he can't go first. He has to try to get him to pay him in cash, and so on. Mashenkin, if he does make that stipulation, and he does not have real estate, then he can go first to the guarantor. It's hanging in the beit hakneset. I don't know, on the wall. See it behind the bima. Somebody have a Kleenex? Somebody else have it? That's all you need.
Sure.
No? Okay, never mind. No, won't help. Says the Gemara, how could you read that into the Mishnah? Ha-miniktoni sefer of Shimon ben Gamliel omer. Im yesh nechasim l'loveh, it says in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Shimon and Ben Gamliel, im yesh nechasim l'loveh bein kach u'bein kach lo yifra min ha'arev. It says over here that no matter what, according to Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel, if there's nechasim to the loveh, you cannot, even if you would have made it tonight, be nifra min ha'loveh, min ha'arev, which is exactly what the case is that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. Mashma, that the Tanakhama, who argues with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, would hold that in that case, you do go directly to the Arev. Otherwise, what's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel arguing on the Tanakhama with? So, Mechalal, the Tanakhama Savar, Lo Shna Halki. According to the Tanakhama, it wouldn't matter whether there were Nechasim to the Arev or there were no Nechasim to the Arev. To the Lover, you could go to the Arev. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that the Tanakhama holds what the Mishnah says of Shimon ben Gamliel holds? Doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, truth is, the Mishnah as we have it is Chosen. Chasuri Mechasr, Lachik Tatani. The correct way to read the Mishnah is like this. Malveres Chaveru al Yedei Arev. Lo Yifram and Arev. First of all, without making any conditions, you cannot go directly to an Arev, no matter what. If the lender said, I'm making this loan only on condition that I can go to whoever I wish, and if I want to go to the Arev, I can. So then, Yifram and Arev. Then he can go to the Arev. Now, so far it's like our mission, and I add this. When do we say this? Only if the loveh does not own real estate. But if the loveh owns real estate, then the real estate is only for direct collection. Now let him go and collect from the real estate of the loveh. So far, this is what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So how do we explain the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan as follows, because we insert this new piece. The Mishnah now introduces a new concept called a kablan. A kablan is somebody who contracts, the lashon of kablanut, he contracts, he's a kablan himself, to be responsible for the loan beyond the guarantor responsibility. So if he says, I contract to pay the loan, so then, in that case, even if the lova has nechasim, he can go directly to the kablan. And that's where Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, no, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im Yesh Nechasim LeLoveh, then Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, whether, meaning not Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, whether you made it tonight or you didn't make it tonight. Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, now it's understood to mean whether it's a Kablan or an Arei. You can't go directly to the Kablan. Lo Yiframihim. Okay, so it comes out now that we have different Arei. In other words, first of all, we have the normal Arei. The normal Arei you cannot go to collect from first, no matter what. He has no custom to the lover. Doesn't have no custom. Then we have an Arei in a loan where the lender said, I am making this loan with the understanding that I can go to anybody I want first. So there, if the lover does not have nechassim, you can go to the Arei first. But if the lover has nechassim, you still can't go to the Arei first. If the person who made himself an Arev stipulated that he's not just an Arev, he's a Kablan, so then in that case, even if there were an Nechassim to the Lova, you can go directly to the Kablan to get paid.
Custom all the time refers to karka, if he has a million
dollars. Real estate. Because if he has cash, I don't know if I can get it. I'm not going to start running around. He can hide his cash easily, but real estate, I know it's there. Go take it. Omer Rabba Bar Rachana. Omer of
your... You couldn't put some kind of a lien on a bank account, go after the...
I don't have to. I can. I don't have to.
This is the
it's easier for me to go to the Kablan. It's up to me. I mean, if I find it easier to go to the Lover, fine, I'll go to the Lover.
What's the difference between
Kablan and the Arev? We'll see. There's other elements that are involved also. We haven't exhausted yet our sugya here. Omer Rabba Bar Bachan, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. You should know that Kol Makom Shishanarub Shem Ben Gamliel B'Mishnateinu Alacha Kamoto. Normally, wherever we find Rav Shem Ben Gamliel in a Mishnah as opposed to a Braisa, the halacha follows him. However, there are three exceptions, and this one is one of them. Chutz mi'arev, which is our Mishnah. And then there's other two cases that we had also. We had Sidon, in the case of a get in Sidon, Rayach Reiner, where the machlokas was whether you can go back with new rayas, how much time you have to be seisur adin. Fine, over there also. The three cases we don't pass like Rav Shem Ben Gamliel. So that means that over here, we paskin that there's a difference between an arev and a kablan in terms of who it is that you can go to first to collect from. Omer Rav Huna, in terms of defining whether someone is an arev or someone is a kablan, how do you know the difference? Well, let's say if a guy says, lend him money, vani arev, or lend him money, vani poreya, I'll pay it, or Halveya lend him money, vani chayav, I'll be responsible. Or halveya vani etein, lend him money and I'll pay up. I'll give you. All of those, even though they sound like he's really taking a lot of responsibility, they're only a lashon of arvut, not of kablanut. But if he would, why? Because he uses the word halveya. Halveya means you lend it to him. He's saying you lend it to him. So that means that the primary relationship of lender and borrower is still between the two of you. I'm on the side. Tein lo vani kaplan, tein lo vani poreya, tein lo vani chayav, tein lo vani etein. On the other hand, if there's never a mention of lending to him, and you just say, give it to him means, okay, you don't have a relationship between the two of you, a borrower and a lender directly. You just give him the money, I'll take care of it. So you say, give him the money, I'll take care of it. Then that's a lashon of kablanut. So that's kulam lashon kablanut. Now, even though it's a lashon of kablanut, let's not get confused. But it doesn't mean literally that he's saying that no lending arrangement exists between the lender and the borrower. Because if he did, then we wouldn't even be able to go to the borrower as a last resort, which that nobody is saying. In other words, the kablan is a payer of first resort, but not the only payer. So that means that we're simply understanding that he wants to make the primary chiyuv between him, the kablan, and the lender. And that's why he doesn't use the lashon of halveihu. But nonetheless, it's clearly understood, since the money is given directly to the borrower, that this is a loan to the borrower. The only question is, who's he able to come to pay it off first? Okay? Are we good so far?
Yeah.
Right, so that means that we have now, let's just review what we have so far again. We have three stages of understanding the nature of a guarantor. The simplest guarantor is someone where there's no stipulation that he can be a first resort payer. The lender didn't say anything about that. He simply said, you lend him the money, I'll guarantee the money. So that simply means that you have to go pay, get your collect your debt from the guy that you're lending into. In the event that you try to get money out of him and he is skipped out or whatever, you can't get it out of him, then you can come to me and I'll guarantee it. Suppose the lender, that's level number one. And then we have level number two. Suppose the lender says, well, I only want to lend money with the understanding that I can go to the guarantor as a first resort. And he makes the loan on that basis. So then the halacha is that he could sue the guarantor first, and he doesn't have to search for a lova, but only if the lova doesn't have real estate. If the lova has real estate, then he cannot first sue the guarantor, because the real estate is the primary guarantor, so to speak, for that lova. Then we have the third darga that we've discussed so far, which is an aref kablan. And that so far, the way that we've seen that you enter into that agreement is by saying, instead of, why don't you lend them the money and I'll guarantee it, or lend them the money and I'll pay it, or lend them the money and then come to me, you say the words, give him the money. I'll take care of it. So give him the money, then you want to take away the relationship of lender-borrower as being primarily between the two of you, and you want to take it on your responsibility. I'm borrowing the money, so to speak. You give it to him. So you don't use the word borrowing between the two of them. Nonetheless, we understand that to mean only that you're accepting upon yourself the primary payment. There still exists a relationship of borrower as a last resort, so that if the RAV isn't there, the lender did not mean that he's not going to go after the borrower. He could still go after the borrower. But he has to first and fundamentally go after the kablan. So that's the sheet that's according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the halacha is that even if you're a kablan, nechassim stand out there first. And we said that this is one of the three cases that we do not pass like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel b'mishtasenu. This is the famous case of Orev. Orev Sidon Raya Akrona. This is Orev. So here's where we don't pass like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So that those three dargas that I mentioned stand then.
In other words, if the borrower has properties, it doesn't mean that you go... First,
that's right, if you're a kablan. Yeah. I could still go to the kablan, even if the borrower has problems.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we still are not quite through with what makes you a kablan as opposed to an RX. So far, what we saw is that the shita of Rav Huna is that if you mention the word lend him, you're an RX. If you tell a guy give him, then you're a kablan. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about Ibailu? What about, according to this, if you said, lend him and I'll be a kablan? Suppose you said the word kablan, but you still created a loan between us. Or just the opposite. Suppose you said, give him the money and I'll be an RA. So over there, there's two elements. I mean, there's what it is you said should happen, and then there's how it is you're defining your responsibility for what happened. Which one is more fundamental? Omer Rav Yitzchak, well, what's fundamental is the lashon of arvut or the lashon of kablanut. If you use the lashon of arvut, then you're an arev. If you use the lashon of kablanut, then you're a kablan. Whether you were medactic in your lashon to say give it to him or lend it to him and so on, that's less important than the actual word arev or kablan. Rav Kista says on the contrary, kulam lashon kablanutein. The fact is that whenever you take responsibility for something of this sort, which in any way implies that it's up to you. So let's say that you're using the word give him instead of saying you should lend him the money. Then even if you say the word I am an RA, that doesn't change it, because the word kablan is also kind of RA. It's just that he's saying I contract to be an RA. That's all kablan means. So you didn't undo that. So we will always assume, whether you use the word kablan or you use the word give, either case would be enough. It's always a lashon kablanut, unless both elements of your statement imply that you're not a kablan. Meaning, what you said to do, that is to say, you said halveyu, and how you defined yourself, that is to say, you said I'll be an arev. You'd have to make certain that you pointed out both of those things. You lend him the money, I will guarantee the money. Then you're an arev. But if you say you give him the money, and I'll guarantee the money, then you're a kablan. Or for that matter, if you say you lend him the money, but I'll be a kablan, then you're also a kablan. No matter how you do it, essentially you're going to accept kablanut on yourself. Rabbit is just the opposite. The last thing we'd assume is that a guy is accepting kablanut unless he makes it very clear from both elements of his statement. You give him the money, and I am accepting on myself a contract with you, kablan. So then we say he's a kablan. But otherwise, kulam lashon aravutain, except for tain lo vani no tain, or obviously tain lo vani kablan, which would be even more powerful. Omerle marbar ravashi. Amar Amemar, Ravashi rather, said to him like this: my father Amemar passed him that tain lo vanino tain. If you say you give it to him and I'll give it to you, then ain l'malvala lo v'klum. Then there's no relationship of lender borrower whatsoever. There's only a relationship of lender borrower between the lender and the kablan. But lohi, that's wrong. Lo mitzvah lova mine de malva. There's no way that a borrower actually takes money from a person is not going to be responsible to pay it back unless achi savi tain biyad. Unless what happens is the kablan takes the money in his hand from the lender and he gives it to the borrower. So then he is the borrower and he has his own problems with the borrower. Now the truth is that this, as Rabbeinu Tam points out, this still doesn't mean that there's no recourse, because shibuta de Reb Nosson means that it's always, in that particular case, A owes B and B owes C, so in the end A owes C. So ultimately the lova, who is A, because he owes B, who's the guarantor, and guarantor owes C, who's the lender, C can always come back to A as shibuta de Reb Nosson. But of course it puts him in the lowest possible situation. He must attempt to get everything out of the kablan. He's only coming because now, what is out of the kablan? Yeah, and only then can he go after the. Because of Shibuta Reb Nosson only, not because it was a loan directly to him. Because I never gave him any money. I gave only the kablan the money, but it's not worse than a normal shibuta de Reb Nosson, as Tosis points out.
But then there'd have to be some sort of instrument that you could use, I assume, to prove that this money was given to the.
Right, yeah. I mean, it would depend whether it's a milvah tam, milvah b'shtar, so all of the standard minimum of loans.
Then you might be signed a red kablan, that's a very bad thing, is it?
It's a very bad thing.
You find out later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure, it's horrible.
It's signing on a bank guarantee, like being a kablan.
No, signing on a bank guarantee means you give away your children also. That's exactly it, yes. That's what it is.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm glad we can all laugh. Yes, but I don't own a home because of it, thank you. Yeah.
Give you a home in
the
year.
He has it in his hands. He was the only one that dealt with the loan. It's not a question of classic kinyanim that's important here. It's a Shiloh, who did I lend the money to? Exactly. Yes, that's right, exactly. Now, who dayona, they say milva, There was a certain dayan that allowed a lender to take possession of the property of the borrower before he even sued the lender directly. And
like a collateral.
Yeah, no, so he had a star. He was able to go into the guy's field. But over here, so he didn't want the inconvenience of trying to locate the borrower. The borrower was out of town or whatever. So he thought, okay, fine. So go collect from the field. Rav Chanin b'reid Rav Yehuda threw him out of the field. Salki Rav Chanin b'reid Rav Yehuda. Omar Rav Man Chochem. Man Chochem. Lamevad ki omil seilad Rav Chanin b'reid Rav Yehuda. Ah, brilliant that he threw him out. Why? Because the truth is, Kosava nichse the bar inush inun ma'arviniate. The fact that I have property, that property is the equivalent of a guarantee of a loan. A guarantee of a loan is not more powerful than a guarantor. So what's the din in the Mishnah? You cannot go to the guarantor. You have to first go to the person. So over here, it's no different than the Mishnah. If it's not in our Mishnah, meaning the Kaimelon, we understood that to mean and that's what you did. You went to the property, which was the equivalent of suing the guarantor. Why didn't you first give an opportunity for the lover to pay you in cash? The lover's property. There was no guarantor. But he's saying the property is essentially a guarantor.
Property,
so whatever dinim there are on a guarantor is the dinim on the property. There was another case of a hu arva de yasmi, the pare lamalva mekamide ludiini liyasmi. Now here there was a guarantor. A guy guaranteed the loan. The lender, the borrower died, leaving young yitomim. And so when they came to collect the debt, they went directly to the arev. The Arev, out of the goodness of his heart, instead of confusing the poor orphans about what was going on, he paid it, figuring that after things calm down and so on, he'll get it out of the property of the Yatomi. Omer of Papa.
Today, the earth of Amir, you can see on the salad district. For those who came by 8:35, with a cup of hot chocolate. Those who came after 8:35 do not get.
Amir would be the name of our Beit HaMidrash.
Who is the
Hayom Mekablim Chachiyuch or Gam Hayom? Yeah, Omer of Papa. Omer of Papa. Mine is also expert in the Bible. No? Okay, fine. Omer of Papa. Kriyat Baal Chol Mitzvah. Says Rav Papa, in this case, look, if we would have rejected the priya from the balkov, and then we would have gone to the lova, be one thing. But over here, the only reason that we have to now pay back the orev is because in his having paid back for the loan, he has now created a debt upon the yitomim to pay him back. The problem is that debt is not secured by contract. Since it's not secured by contract, it's not against the property. And you can't collect from the Yatomim unless you're collecting because of their moral obligation of paying you. The problem is that since they're Tanim, they don't have moral obligations. Well, and you're going to have to wait till they grow up,
and then
they'll pay you. But you can't. You can't force them. How are you going to get them to pay you now? Yatzmei lav b'nei avid mitzvah ninu. As ketanim, they are not mechuyev in mitzvot, and therefore they don't have to pay. When they grow up, then you can sue them. So if there's a debt directly on karka, then you don't have to sue them because they're not available, so to speak, since they're Ketanim. So by not being available, you're going to the Arev, so to speak, the Arev being the Karka. But over here, you don't have a debt against the Karka. That's the problem.
Because you paid it.
Yeah, because you paid it. There was no mechanism that was put into... That's
or
a possibility.
Waited the, or waited
or
the,
perhaps if you had gone to...
The property, the lender to take the property.
Right. Since the property existed. So you could have allowed this whole thing to go through the courts.
If they weren't to pay him, does the Arev have a claim against the lender?
Yes. If they were, he has a legal claim now, except that he can't execute it because they don't have to respond because they're minors.
And minors?
No, it's because they're minors.
But if they were grown ups, he could have sued him on the spot.
Yes. And as soon as they do grow up, he can sue them.
The hope is to the estate, to the father. Who owed the original?
The original was to the father.
The father left property.
And he figures, okay, they're still sitting sheep or whatever it was. He doesn't want to bother them. So he pays. Then he figures, he'll come and he'll take it. But Lamaisa, he doesn't have a lien against the property because there was no mechanism that put it into effect. We didn't go ahead. The court didn't give him now a new lien or so. And he just went ahead and paid it.
And he was an artist.
Yeah, he was an artist.
So the property and he functioned
the same way. Right. And now he has to go and collect that property, but doesn't have a star against the property. So he can only collect by suing them. But they can't be sued because they're too young. She's going to have to wait to collect.
When an Arev pays off someone's loan, is that someone owe the Arev?
Yes. But unless a mechanism was put into place by a court to make it a lien against the property, it won't own by property. It'll just be a normal loan. But a normal loan over here against the estate is not machayev of the Yisomim because the Yisomim are too young to respond to a suit. So he's sort of put himself into limbo over here. So this is where Prophet Psak. He asked me a lot when I met him. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua says, no, there's a much bigger problem over here. The truth is, it's not because they're not B'nai Mavid Mitzvah. Even if they would be, and this is what he holds, we would, if we knew for a fact that there was a death, we would collect for another reason, even though they're not B'nai Mavid Mitzvah. It's not a good thing for them, Klape Shamayim, to be eating other people's money and to be living, owing people money. We don't want to put them into that kind of masa. But what we are afraid of is Emar Tsrari Atfase. How do we know, and this is always going to be a problem, says Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, how do we know that this was really a loan? How can we be sure that there wasn't some kind of under the table deal that they should be able, their father perhaps, in order to make sure that this wouldn't happen, maybe he had given some tsrori, he had given some wallets, he said, look, to the lenders, if anything happens to me, you know, don't go after my kids, here's a special bank account set aside for you to collect from and so on. Now, as long as they're Ketanim, we understand that they are too young to investigate these possibilities. We have to wait until they're old enough to find out what happened with their father, and then we can go ahead and collect from them. Yeah, but these kind of things, to look into their father's personal affairs, that is only where they can do it. Right. Right, that's where somebody's going to collect anyway, because it was Karka, it was against Karka. There we have an apotropis. Make sure you get the best price, make sure the contract's in order, and so on and so forth. So therefore, Ematzori ought to say, we have to be worried that the Chalal, since he didn't go to the Yitomim in the first place, and then the court would have said, well, we have to find out what happens, we'll have to wait till they grow up. So Mamela, he acted over here peremptorily. So if after they grow up, they look around, it turns out that they can't find any indications it was a prepayment. Okay, fine, but you certainly can't sue them now. My B'nai'o, the difference between them, not because it's not been B'nai Mavid Mitzvah, therefore my B'nai'o, what's the practical difference? The practical difference would be, let's say that as the father is dying, he says, look, I owe this guy money, I want to make sure that it's paid off. So notice he's saying to his children, I did not leave anything to pay this guy off. So if you hold like Rav Papa, it doesn't matter. Because even though we know that the money was owed, but Lamaisa, the Arev still can't collect because they're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah of paying him. Masha Enkein, according to Rav Huna, then in that case we don't have a chashash of tzrorei akasa. And he holds that Yitomim are b'nei ma'avad mitzvah, at least when it comes to paying off money that they shouldn't be holding to. Or another case would be Inami, the Shamtu, who made Bishamte. Another case could be that the father had been sued for this money. The court had put him into Cherem because he refused to pay. And he died while still under a nidui. So obviously he hadn't paid back the chod. So there, no matter what he says, the court had already found him responsible. There's no chashash. That's sorry after said.
But that's why he was in Cherem.
That's why he was in Cherem. Otherwise they would have taken him out of Cherem as soon as he paid back. Sholchu mitam, indeed they sent from Eretz Yisrael, that in a case with Shamtuhu, who made Shamte, if a person had been put into Cherem because he didn't pay, and died while still under that Cherem, the halacha is, the Ilkasa is to Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yehoshua, that we do go ahead and take the money from the Yitomim in this case to pay back the Arev, because we have no chashash of Emot Sori Atvasei. And furthermore, Yitomim are b'nei ma'avid mitzvah when it comes to getting money out that isn't theirs from under their hand. Makes sense. We ask him this from here. It says, Arev sh'ayashtar chov yotzei mitachat yado eno gove. An Arev who has now a copy of the original loan. He comes along and says, look, I obviously paid back the loan because he gave me back the shtar. So I now want my money back. He still ain't ogo there. He still cannot collect until the Yitomim grow up. The Imkatuv bo, if it says in this shtar, Hitkabalti mimcha, if it says b'feirush, that the guy signs off on it, the lender signs off on it, he says, I received the contents of this loan from you, and this contract should serve as proof of that, then he can be gove. The Arev would be able to be gove from the Yitomim. So now, Ishlein Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yehoshua, at least we can have this make sense according to Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yehoshua. Mashkachat laki shechayav modeh. We could say, okay, how can he collect? He could collect at least because of the fact that the father had died saying that, yes, it's true, I owe the money. But according to Rav Papa, there's never a case that he should be able to collect. Because the Yisomim are Katanim. So why can he collect in this case? So Rav Papa Kasha, no. Shiny Asim, the Lucky Talk, because of the Hiskabalti. That's different over here because having written the Hiskabalti, what he's really trying, why did he have to write Hiskabalti? He could have handed him back the contract. So the only reason that he writes Hiskabalti is in order to transfer the power of the contract to the Arev. He wants to make him now the primary lender. And therefore, the Arev is now collecting from the property of the Yisomim. He's not collecting from the Yisomim because of mitzvah to be Porea the Baal Chov. Therefore, that is Rav Papa. In this case, it's a very unique case because of the fact that the guy wrote, he's Kabalti Yidit. Why did he have to do that? If anything, we should ask why, according to Rav Huna, doesn't he collect in the case where he doesn't have the words he's Kabalti? I thought if an Arev pays a loan, then he's able to collect from Yisomim, because we don't say Yisomim Rav B'nei Ma'avid Mitzvah. So this should be a kasha against Rav Huna, not a kasha against Rav Papa. Right? So Tosfos explains that, look, Rav Huna's problem of the Yisomim needing to be able to be old enough to figure out what went on is true in this case as well. Because it doesn't only mean they need to know their father's business. It means they need to be able to research whether the Arev is in possession of this contract because he paid for it, or is he in possession of this contract for some other reason. Maybe the lender had given it to him to try to go and collect against them for the loan? Well, so where's the harsha? So So in other words, whatever Ravuna holds it's only where it's absolutely certain that we have all the information that we would be able to collect from the Yisroelim. Over here, fine, okay, let's say we're talking about a case Kishachai of Modeh. The father died, being Modeh owes the money. But there's still a missing link here. The Arev has appeared before us with a star. Now, how do we know exactly what that means? The little ones are too little to hire a detective and to work it out. It's not our responsibility to work it out. So Rav Huna, in this case, is also Modeh. I still can't sue them. The only time I can sue them is if it's very clear the guy wrote his kapalti. There's no other way to understand the relationship of his, the shtar now, of the other to the payment. So then, of course, we would have to pay. Okay, so this is, therefore, a case that works out both according to Rav Papa and according to Rav Huna. Now, who are the Ovid Kochavim? Now, here was an interesting case. A guy had made himself a guarantor for a loan that had been made by a goy.
From a goy.
From a goy to a Jew. He went ahead and he paid up the goy before he went to the Yitomim. Mekame de Litvino Leyasmi. Omar Le Rav Mordechai Le Rav Ashi, Hoch Yomra Avimi Mihagrunia Mishmeda Rava. What Rav Avimi said here, quoting Rava, was that Afilu Vaman Yomra Kashina Letzori. Even if you hold a Rav Huna normally, and you say the problem that we can't collect from the Yisraelim is not because of Priyas Balko, but it's because we're Chayesh, but Tzrori, there's no way that the father would have been Matvis Tzrori to the goy, because he'd be stupid. Since he knows by Persian laws, we saw before, by Persian law, you go first after a guarantor. Always.
The father
knew this. Yeah, well, of course. That's the advantage of having a guarantor under Persian law for him. So why in the world, you're not even allowed to go after the lender by Persian law. You must first go after the guarantor. So if that's the case, he's got to be crazy to be Matvis Tzrori, where he knows that the lender's going to go, the lender being a goy, is going to go directly to his arev. Right? So all he would do is get himself in trouble by giving the guy Tzrori. So he would never do that. Yeah. Exactly. And he would go after the guarantor. Why should he do such a thing? So in that case, for sure, we wouldn't have to be chayish for tzrori. And there, Rav Huna should be made of it, even if the guy doesn't say, I died chayish, right, that there would be no problem over here, sort of. So, given the Bosa Arva Azil, in a non-Jewish court, we know he's going to be going after the guarantor first, Lo Chashina Letzrori. We don't have any question of Tzrori. Rav Ashi said just the opposite. Just the opposite. Adarav. I would say, I feel him on the other, Lo Chashina Letzrori. Even if you would hold that we don't have a problem of worrying that the Ketanim don't know whether there was Tzrori, in this case, we would worry about it. Hani Mila Yisrael. Aval Oved Kuchavim, given the Dainiu Basar Arva, a goy, since they are going to go after the Arev, I would say, Yilav Da'at Pesach Tzori Mi'ikara, when the Jew went ahead and accepted the Arvut, there was probably a deal that the borrower had made with the guarantor. Because otherwise the guarantor is going to be crazy. Why would a Jew put himself in a matzav to be guaranteeing, which means that basically he's giving him a gift. The guy is going to take it from him. They must have had a deal. So in this case, even worse. We'll never allow the Oreb to collect, even according to Rav Huna, unless they is the father who died and the Oreb. But over here, the opposite story is the Oreb. Well, having the Kabbalah, why should he put himself in a matzah being a Kabbalah, basically? The worst possible matzah, a super Kabbalah, where he doesn't have any way to make sure he's going to get his money back. Okay. Then we said, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ha'arev le'isha b'chtuvata. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel also said another thing. Somebody is an arev for a woman, for a ksuva. If the guy is going to divorce his wife, he has to swear, create an Isra Hanah between him and his wife so that they can never get remarried. Because otherwise, we believe that they have made a Knunya to defraud the guarantor, get the money, then they'll get happily married again, and they live off of the money from her tzimis. It was a great deal. Now, Moshe Bar Atzi, we had an actual case, where a fellow called Moshe Bar Atzi had guaranteed the ksiva of his own daughter-in-law. Rav Huna was Moshe Bar Atzri's son. Now, Rav Huna Berei, not our Rav Huna, but Rav Huna Berei was a tzuvim mirabbanim. He was a Talmud Chacham. Utchikalei Milti, he had a miserable life. His father didn't hold of learning in Kollel, wouldn't send him any money. And they were going crazy. So Abaya says, look, I don't understand. Is nobody smart enough to just tell him he should be Megarish's wife, sue his father, collect the ksuva, and then go remarry her? Why? How come nobody's telling them this? Leka the nasal, the nasvi etzel Ravuna, there's nobody to go give an etzel to Ravuna, the nigrisham of the visu, that he should go and divorce his wife, but tease over tigbek suva miyavua, then he can get the money out of his father, vahadanaga, and then he can remarry her. Amalei Rava said, Rava, what do you mean? What good would that do? Vayadi renan akman, it says in the Mishnah, that if somebody's being regards his wife in that fashion, he would have to swear off on us. He could never get remarried. No, says Abaye. Did I say anything about going to court to divorce her? I said, make a deal between yourselves. Then you could still sue. Atu, call the Magaj the Beidina Magaj. I mean, if you're going to screw around, you might as well go all the way. Do it in private. Give her a get. Now bring it to court if the get's already filed. There was no letter that was made. And now go and collect. Lesof, he going built at the coin room. In the end, it turned out he didn't know, but this Rav Huna with the coins, it wouldn't have worked anyway. Omer Abaya says, Abaya, that's what they say, the poor get poorer. I did Amri Inche, plus Ramiya, as well, I'm a user. The guy starts off poor, things only get worse. Now, how did Abaya give such an awful, I mean, the Omer Abaya, Hafi, the Omer Abaya, Abaya was the one who says that the meaning of the word Hirosha Arum, who is destructive to the world, is Zeha Meiti Eitzah Linkor B'nichtek Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. We had this case earlier, where somebody gives a gift and he says, okay, use it after you, it should go to so-and-so. So the din is that if you would have sold it, so fine, you would have kept the money and that's all, there's nothing to go to so-and-so. But the Abaya says, a Rosh Aron is somebody who tells the guy, hey, by the way, you know, you could sell it, and then you get all the money, and there's nothing left to give to so-and-so. So the Acharecha to so-and-so wouldn't apply. So Abaya says, it's a horrible thing to say to somebody. It's mitaber aliv lo lo. You're getting involved in an issue that's not yours. You're being mocked at one guy to give a good answer. That's not a way to be nice. So what? And over here, he's saying the guy should sue his father. I mean, why isn't that a Rosh Aron? It's different. First of all, it's his own kid. But no shiny. First of all, it's his own kid. And second of all, it's Kerwell. It's Urban Mirabonan. He's a Talmud Chacham. Okay, over there, a father should be supporting his son. He's a Talmud Chacham anyway. So Lomaita, it's a good way to get him into that situation. Now, wait a minute. You said that he was an Orev for his daughter's Ksuva, but if he was an Orev, the halach is that an orev on a ksuva anyway is just a joke. He's not really mishtabe, even if he signs the guarantor. Because over there, the guy figures, look, you know what? The kala needs a little bit of encouragement. I'm just getting a little cold feet. No, man, I'll be a good guy. I mean, come on. It's not as if I'm costing her any money. It's not as if it's not a good thing for her to get married. And you have the mace of tandum and the she needs a little stirrup. I'll be the guy to give her a little kiss. No, but I certainly have no intention of paying a dime for this. So over there, we understand that that's the meaning of an ari for a ksuva. The time of an ari for a ksuva, lo mishtabe. Well, he was actually a kamlan. He wasn't just an orev. A kamlan is, oh, wait. Hey, nigalaman, yomar kablan, diktuvah, pagav, the letle, nikse, labal, mishtabe, shapir. Actually, it's a machlokas. There's a man yomar who says that if somebody signs on as a kablan, even for a ktuvah, if the person that he's signing for, the chosin, doesn't have any nechosin, then even a Kabuan has no intention of getting involved in this. He's also just giving a nice little shove to the caliph. It's only if he has money. The guy has nechassim. Right, so if he has nechassim, then already he's, all right, he'll probably collect from the chassim. So then, but to put himself in a matzav where Barai, the chassim, is a poor guy, and he's Barai going to end up coming to me to pay, that I'm not ready to do.
Hey, but who would do something unless the reason the bride might be worried is because he doesn't have any nechassim.
Moshe Baruch.
He has nechassim, then she knows she can always get it from the nechassim. Doesn't make sense. I mean, that's exactly who would go who would look for a leader. Somebody who was married, somebody didn't have anything anyway.
Well, I mean, to play this trick, you're saying?
No. I'm saying that it wouldn't be...
That would be the case where she would be most fearful of being able to collect. So in being so fearful, we understand that all he wants to do is make her calmer, but that's all. He's just a kablan for the name only. So that's the machlok. Because if you hold, I mean, over here, obviously Rav Huna was a pop. Good. So the kablan who got involved, if you hold like that, the army stole me an arev, and he's not really being Makai of himself. So if you hold that even though the chassan is a pop or the guy takes kablan seriously, fine. Then you could say this. So remind the Amar, what about according to the Amar, who says only Yitle, only if the chassan has money, does the kablan really mishabin himself? But he left lo mishabin. Ma'ikam ameimar, what was the buyer thinking in collecting from the father? Well, first of all, who's to say that he was always a pauper? Maybe he, originally, maybe he had some nechassim, and then they were ruined. So it could be mi'avi, maybe originally he had money. The shtabu in his field was ruined, was flooded away. Or he buys ema. We could say that a father is different. Father really does mean to take responsibility. And in Abel, Agabi Bray, she put him a shopping. Now she, because, he figures something else. It's another expense already, my kid. You know, I'm paying so much money for the wedding anyway. You know, a little bit of an additional goblin for Tzuva. No, Mela.
Is he misleading the color?
Yeah, but listen, anyway, marriage is a great conspiracy, right? I mean, nobody tells them that this is crazy what they're doing. Okay, so it's another part of the conspiracy.
Nobody
tells them. Everybody figures, it'll somehow or other work it out. The Itma. Where is this machlokus? The itmar orev b'ksuv the divrei akol lo mishtabe. Everybody agrees. If you're just an orev, for sure you didn't mean it seriously. Kablan of a baal chov, divrei akol you are mishtabe, no matter what. The question over here is, a kablan of a ksuv and an orev of a baal chov, that's a machlokus. This we haven't seen yet. There we have a machlokus. Mar sover yisle nichse lavove mishtabe, yilase lo mishtabe. One man the Amar holds that a kablan of a ksuva or even a normal orev of a baal chov is certainly not going to put himself in a matzav which he seriously is accepting upon himself to pay back a loan where he knows the guy doesn't have a dime. So that we don't take that seriously. That for sure is a smachta, and there's no kinyan here at all. Masava bein isle bein lesle mishtabit. Whether he does have or not, he's still mishtabit. The yokitza, as far as Allah Kalamaisa is concerned, the kulu mishtabit. In all cases, we do consider an orev and a kablan to be responsible. Bar me orev diksuva. Except the case of an orev of a ksuva, which we said over there, he's just trying to encourage her. Forget about the words bein isle bein lesle, that's not the. That's not important. All cases above, including that case. Now over there, apagav the isle lebaal lo mishtabit. There, even though the chosin does have money, he didn't mean it seriously. My time of mitzvah, but he figures I'm just helping this along. The lab midi chos, it's not as if she's losing anything. She's only gaining. I mean, she's not paying any money, and she's getting married, and it's a great idea. So she needs a little bit of somebody to rely on. No, Mela. I'll put my name in there, that's all. That's it for today.